Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there? I am live right now on www.wwgh1071.com and I'm live right now on that TuneIn app, which you have access to on any electronic device. Always in your search bar, type in WWGH. I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944. If you would just like to be a part of my show today, if you have any questions or if you would like to make any comments, and if you would like to share any New Year's traditions that you are able to carry on this new year. It is a new year, and the new year is 2026. 26 years into the new millennium we are in right now. And as we have been talking, my guest and I, and sharing with you today that things have changed. Things have drastically changed, and they seem to be going downhill. Even though there's good things going on, God is still on the throne. He's still blessing people. There's good times, a lot of laughter, a lot of love that's going on. But also, besides that, there are things going on that are not so good. And I guess you can't have good all the time, can you? And you can't have bad all the time. It's a mixture, and that is a part of life. But I thank you so much for tuning in. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And not only that, if you are a faithful listener and supporter, always thank you for your love and your support. And I pray you feel that back from me. I give you my love and my support of you. So anytime you want to call in or share something with me, please call 740-383-9944. Anytime that I am on the air. If you want to share something or you want to pray for someone, which we do need a lot of prayer. We need to pray for our administrations. We need to pray for our city of Marion, our people who are in power, our nation. Even our families, we need to pray more. And I believe, you know, some of you who listen to me are believers in prayer, are believers in Christ Jesus, are believers in Him being able to touch the hearts and minds of men and women. And that's what I believe myself. Okay, now, along with you listeners today, we have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialists. These are sponsors and supporters of A Voice of a People. They are located at 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. And that number is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street of Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement of free produce will not take place until April of 2026. Please pray for the Good News Club, which is located in all of our elementary and county schools, along with North Union City and County Elementary Schools, that the Word of God continues to go out and teach children about the Lord. Okay? Now, I have one announcement for you today, and that is, let us continue to support the homeless community, our homeless shelter, which is located at 326 West Fairground Street in Marion. They always need donations of like copy and paper and envelopes and stamps and toilet paper and paper towels and 13-gallon trash bags and laundry detergent, floor cleaner, bleach, disinfectant spray, dish soap, bath towels, and washcloths. Let's not forget those who are in need. You know, and I say that because, and I really do my best to lift them up. There are certain people who have, it's part of their ministry to help the homeless shelter. But you know how close some of us may be from being homeless. Things could just flip and switch at any moment. Because that is a growing community, I believe. Rent has gotten so expensive. And they're making it so hard. Like if you missed a mistake, or if you got evicted from a property because maybe you lost your job and you couldn't pay your rent. So now they're holding it against a person for like 5 years because they were evicted out of a place because of circumstances that was beyond their control. So what are they to do? Where are they to live? That is so terrible. That is so awful. This is where we are. That is worse than making a mistake in your checking account or your savings account. Oh my gosh. Give people a chance to get back on their feet. Because things happen in our lives that we have no control over sometimes. And then we get penalized and punished even more. Well, that is on my heart today, as well as, you know, trying to help one another do better for this new year that we're in right now. So, that announcement for the homeless. We're in the month of January, 2026, 8 years into, eight days into the new millennium. The month of January was named for the Roman god Janus, protector of gates and doorways. Janus is depicted with two faces, one looking into the past and the other into the future. New Year's traditions from around the world. Many New Year's traditions that we take for granted actually date from ancient times. This year, ring out the old and ring in the new with a New Year tradition or two. From singing Auld Lang Syne to eating black eyed peas for good luck, discover different ways to celebrate the start of 2026. Making a lot of noise and light, from fireworks to gunshots to church bells, seems to be a favorite New Year's pastime across the globe. In Thailand, it was once tradition to fire guns to frighten off demons. In China, firecrackers routed the forces of darkness. Routed. In Denmark, they threw plates and glasses against each other front doors to banish bad spirits. In Ecuador, it is tradition to burn the effigies of famous people to destroy bad juju from the past year and start fresh. In early American colonies, the sound of pistol shots rang through the air. In the United States today, many watched a ball drop at New Year's Times Square. In other countries, many folks wait for the church bells or the chimes of clock towers to ring out. Then people like to eat lucky food. I didn't know we had lucky food, but I know there are traditions that people try to hang on to. You know, I used to do the black eyed peas things, but I don't. I transitioned to Fort Hook lima beans, the large green lima beans, frozen foods. Only can find them at Kroger's, but they are delicious with biscuits. Yes, with biscuits. So that was January. I was able to acquire a calendar. Farmer's Almanac, Everyday Advice Calendar, 2026. So, the lady told me that that was possibly the last year this was going to be made or manufactured or put out on the shelf. So, I felt that I was lucky to get this one. But, it has some healthy tips in it. Thought for today, think of yourself at all times as realizing conception, as being a strong and perfectly healthy personage, and do not harbor a contradictory of thinking of yourself at all times. Realizing conception as being a strong and perfectly healthy person. And we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage ourselves sometimes a lot more than other people. Sometimes it's easier to encourage other people than to encourage ourselves. And maybe that's a lesson we should learn, or something that we should try a little bit more often, is encourage ourselves to go on, to move on, to stand up, to be strong, to be healthy, and tell yourself that you are. Okay, now, on the 2nd of January, it says, I have chosen to be happy because it is good for my health. Yes, happiness is good. Laughter is even better. Which, you know, if you're laughing, you're happy, right? Right. So laughter is medicine. So let us laugh more this year. Let us trust God more this year. And let us reach out to our brothers and sisters a little more this year, because we need one another. On the 5th of January, good health is not something that we can buy. However, it can be an extremely valuable savings account. The less money you spend on medicine, trying to get well, the more money you can put in your savings account by taking care of yourself. And today is January the 8th, and it says that it is Elvis Presley's birthday. I've seen a lot of reruns of his movies on TV for, I guess I could say, like December, and even also a lot of them are running for this month of January of Elvis Presley. So, yes, he was an entertainer. A lot of people really was crazy about him, especially women, right? Elvis. Okay. All right. So, let me share this with you. Excuse me. Last hour, I spoke with my daughter. She lives up in Wooster, Ohio, and she had been sick with that flu, influenza A. But she's doing a whole lot better now, and I just want people to take care of themselves, because they say that that flu is going around and there's going to be a lot more people sick. So take care of yourself. Now, if we did not learn anything other than when we were wearing masks during the COVID epidemic, it did keep away the flu. It may not have stopped COVID, but it did stop the flu. And, of course, we were sheltering in place and all that. And I know there's so much controversy about that COVID thing. Some people cannot move on from COVID. But I do know there was far less deaths from the flu. So let us be vigilant and take care of ourselves. And cover your mouth if you're sick. If you're out in public and you just have to go out to the grocery store, pick up some water, some meds, cover your mouth so you won't infect or get someone else sick. That's just being mindful of one another. Should we be that? Yes, we should be that. Loving and kind and wanting the best for one another. Okay? All right. Now, this new year, 2026, 26 years into the new millennium, guess what has not changed? Christ has not changed. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. He will remain that. He does not change. He is still the same God as he has always been. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that is John 14 and 6. Who said that? Jesus said that. Whoever is not with me is against me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. In other words, neutrality is impossible. This simple fact confronted Sheldon Van Nuken after he had carried on a lengthy correspondence about Christianity and the great Oxford professor C.S. Lewis. In the book, A Severe Mercy, Van Nuycken wrote that he came to the chilling realization that he could not go back. I talked about the truth last hour. The truth has gotten so misconstrued. People do not know what to believe and what not to believe. Because we are under, I don't know if you call it opinion, that you can't trust the news. You can't trust your political figures that are in power. And maybe those are the ones they want you to believe. But if it's coming out of someone else's mouth, it's not true. It's false. It's fake news. And it may be true. But when you have someone telling you it is not true, which puts people into confusion and do not know what to believe that is true, do your own homework. The truth is out there somewhere. And we must ask for discernment to know the truth when we hear it. Or to test the truth. Test what you hear. Because as we're saying, Christ is still the way. The only way. To heaven and to God. His only truth. His words are true. His predictions are true. His coming back, it is true. He said he was coming the first time as a babe. He came. He lived. He did miracles on this earth. Healed the sick, raised the dead, made the lame to walk, and the blind to see. He fed thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Miracles upon miracles he performed. He suffered. He bled and he died for you and for me, that we may have life and that more abundantly. If we believe in Christ, if we believe his words, if we believe that he is the only truth that we have, he is the only thing that we can depend on as far as comfort. Knowing that he never changes and knowing that he is the way, the only way. And that is still true today. He has not changed. No matter what else is going on in this world, he is still the way. I know there's a lot of different religions out there, and they've been amped up and glorified, and what they have that new religion called The Way. You know, they even had a booth at our local popcorn festival this year. It's the first time I've seen it. It might not have been their first time here, you know, but they're pushing life, happiness, you know. And people want to be happy. They don't want to be sick. They don't want to be sad. They want to be happy. So a lot of people are picking up, okay, this is the way. No, Christ is the way. The only way. The only way. So I thought I'd share that with each and every one of you today. Because he is the way. We may be in a new year. Things may have changed. We're in a new administration, which took power last January 2025. Still in power. We have elections coming in 2026. And some regimes or power will be shifted or given to someone else, you know. Different party or different states running for governors and mayors and things like that. But Christ is still the way. No matter what else changes, God never changes. He never changed. He's the same today, yesterday and forever. He's the same. He does not change. Because a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people don't believe in him. He does not change. He's still the same God. He still sits high and looks low upon the inhabitants of the earth. He still has mercy for each and every one of us. And his grace is what saved us. His willingness to give up his own life for us, that we might be saved. And that is what he did for each and every one of us. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to believe it. It doesn't make it not true because you don't believe it, or you won't receive it, or you don't want to accept it. It has nothing to do with his truth. It has nothing to do with who he is. You can't change that. But you can believe what you want. It's not going to change who he is. Christianity has the ring of essential truth. Now, Christianity has taken another step. You have a lot of people claiming, profess Christians to be Christians. And they're out there doing things in Christ's name, wanting him to bless it. Works of their own hands, they want Christ to bless what they're doing under the wrong intentions. But God will not bless a mess, even though he may still give you life. He may still supply you with your needs. Just be careful. Do not mock God. So whatsoever man sow, that what he shall also reap. Do not make fun of God. He's not the one. He's just not the one. This guy who was talking about Severe, a book titled Severe Mercy, in the book, he says, I had regarded Christianity as a sort of fairy tale. And maybe a lot of people think that. How is that true, that God came from heaven and walked this earth and land? And not only that, he lived and he died and he was resurrected on the third. He was buried and resurrected on the third day and ascended up to heaven after 40 days of walking on the earth. How is that true? How is that true? Why would God lower himself to be like one of us? That he made out of the dust of the ground. For dust we came from dust we shall return. How could he care so much about us that he would want to experience living, experience life, what it was like to be a man? Is that true, or is that a fairy tale? Are you pulling my leg? That's not true. That is true. It has been recorded, documented, written down, witnessed, wrote about, talked about. It's down in the archives. And that is the only thing that have not changed, and it still remains that he is the way. And he says, and I had neither accepted nor rejected Jesus, since I had never, in fact, encountered him. Now I had, through this book, a severe mercy. Have you rejected Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Have you had an encounter with him? Have you met him? Have you talked to him? Have you gone as far as to say, are you real, Lord? I've heard some people say, well, if you're real, do this or do that. You know, they'll give God something to do. And I've heard people say, well, he did that and he is real and he is God. All the miracles that were written down in the Bible about what he did and how he did when he was on this earth. All the miracles that he has already performed in your life, even being on this in this world and on your feet today, is a miracle. That he woke you up this morning and started you on your way. Sound mind, being in sound mind, that's a miracle. You know how many people are losing their minds daily by the things that's going on the earth? People are falling faint of heart because of the things that are going on in the world today. Do you know how blessed you are today? You are blessed abundantly. You are blessed with food. You are blessed with shelter. You are blessed with clothes to put on your back. You are blessed with a little bit of money. A little bit of change to help someone else or to help yourself. You know, you're blessed. Have you encountered him? Have you met him? Are you interested in meeting him? He is the way, the only way to heaven and to God. He says, now I had met him. The position was not merely a question of whether I was to accept the Messiah or not. It was a question of whether I was to accept him or reject him. My God, there was a gap behind me. Perhaps the leap of acceptance was a horrifying gamble, but what of the leap to rejection? Have you rejected Christ? Have you rejected the truth about Christ? Do you not believe that he came and lived and died for you, that you may have life in that more abundantly? Have you dismissed that thought? Do you think that this is a fairy tale? Do you think that this is fake news? This is not fake news. This is reality. This is our only hope, our only comfort, our only peace, our only joy, is to know that we have a Savior, someone who loves us and cares about us and wants to protect us and lead us and guide us through these last days upon this earth, to usher us into his coming kingdom, which this will be no more one day, but the new kingdom will be reigning and standing tall. There was a gap behind me. Perhaps the leap to acceptance was a horrifying gamble, but what of the leap to rejection? If I were to reject, I would certainly face the haunting, terrible thought, perhaps it's true, and I have rejected my God. Van Nuken decided that there was only one thing he could do. He chose to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Christ, my Lord, and my God. Christianity has the ring, the feel of essential truth. By it, life is made full instead of empty, meaningful instead of meaningless. The same decision faces each of us. Jesus challenges us with his claim that he is God in human form, the Savior of the world, and the source of life, both now and forever. How will we respond to him? God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, when it says in spirit, how do you worship God in spirit? Because he is a spirit. We can't see God. He just is. And you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. How do we worship God in spirit? I am going to look that up because I would like to share that with you today. How do we worship God in spirit? Let's go. Okay. Few tips here. Okay. I guess I can share a couple things with you about that. The hour is coming and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. This is a radical statement to say that the hour is now here when worship in Jerusalem would cease. What did he mean? Jesus made the breathtaking claim to be the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming. He who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus responded, "I who speak to you am he." John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. So when Jesus says that the time is now here, when we will no longer worship in Jerusalem, he meant that the kingdom of the Messiah has dawned. And there is going to be a radical break in the way people worship. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The reason is that Jesus intended to take the place of the temple himself. In other words, the place where worship would happen. The place where people would meet God from now on. Would be Jesus, not the temple in Jerusalem. He communicated this in several ways. For example, he stood in the temple and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." John chapter 2, verse 19. The people were astonished and said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But the gospel writer explained he was speaking about the temple of his body. John chapter 2, verse 21. In other words, Jesus meant that when he was raised from the dead, he would be the new temple, the new meeting place with God. All worship should be through Jesus and of Jesus. The key new truth is that worship now happens through Jesus. He is the temple where we encounter God. This is true, first because he poured out his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, and gave his life as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, and opened the way through his own crucified and risen body for us to be reconciled with God. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 36. There is no way that sinners could offer acceptable worship to God without having Jesus' blood as a go-between with God. It's true that worship now happens through Jesus because he himself is God. Ooh, do you believe that? That's essential. He is not simply the mediator of worship between us and the Father. He is also the one to be worshiped. He made his claim indirectly and directly. He forgave sins, which only God can do. Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. He accepted worship from his disciples. Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. He claimed eternal preexistence with God. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 8, verse 58. He said he was one with the Father. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. John chapter 14, verse 9. I and the Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30. So all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. John chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, all worship in truth will be worship of Jesus and through Jesus. For whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Worship in spirit. The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. Some interpreters take this to refer to God's Holy Spirit. I have taken it to refer to our spirit, but probably these two interpretations are not far apart in Jesus' mind. In John chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus connects God's spirit and our spirit in a remarkable way. He says, "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, until the Holy Spirit quickens our spirit with the truth of new life, our spirit is so dead and unresponsive. It does not even qualify as spirit. Only that which is born of the Spirit is a living spirit. So when Jesus says that true worshipers worship the Father in spirit, he means that true worship comes only from spirits made alive and sensitive by the quickening of the Spirit of God. Wow. I don't even know if I understood that myself. Wow, let me try that again. Jesus connects God's spirit and our spirit in a remarkable way. Connects the two spirits together, okay. He says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, until the Holy Spirit quickens our spirit with the birth of new life, our spirit is so dead and unresponsive, it does not even qualify as spirit. Only that which is born of the Spirit is a living spirit. So when Jesus says the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit, he means the true worship comes only from spirits made alive and sensitive by the quickening of the Spirit of God. The essence of worship lies in our mind's true vision of God and our spirit's authentic affections for God. This spirit is essential in worship. Otherwise, worship is dead. Or to use Jesus' phrase, it is vain. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. A heart and spirit alive and engaged with God is essential. Jesus is contrasting authentic worship in spirit. and truth with external worship that focuses on Samaria and Jerusalem. What makes it authentic is not only that the worshiping mind grasps the truth of Jesus, but also that the worshiping spirit experiences awakening and is moved by the spirit that the mind knows a person who has no affections for God, awakened by the truth of Jesus, is not worshiping in spirit and truth. And a person with great affections built on false views of God is not worshiping in spirit and truth. Jesus commands both worship in spirit of truth. If you have no affections for God, if your affections have not been awakened by the truth of Jesus, you're not worshiping in spirit and truth. And a person with great affections built on false views of God is not worshiping in spirit and truth. Jesus commands both worship in spirit and truth. One implication of this vision of worship is that it applies to all of life as well as to services of corporate worship. The essence of worship lies in our mind's true vision of God and our spirit's authentic affections for God. This means that whenever we display the worth of God by the worth of God by words or actions that flow from a spirit that treasures Him as He really is. We are worshiping in spirit and in truth. We may be at work or at home or at church. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we see the glory of God in Jesus, truth, and we treasure Him above all else, spirit. And then we overflow by treating others with self-sacrificing love for their good. Few things display the beauty of God more. For followers of Jesus, therefore, all of life should be this kind of worship. This is powerfully illustrated by the connection Jesus makes between worshiping God and serving God. When Satan tempted Jesus to worship him, Jesus responded, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Serving was often attached to worshiping as an outward expression, a religious ministry in the temple. But now the temple is Jesus. How is the service of worship transformed? We get a surprising glimpse of what service to God means for Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The surprising thing here is that serving God is compared to serving money. But how do you serve money? Not by helping money or meeting money's needs. You serve money by treasuring it so much that you shape your whole life to benefit from what money can do for you. So you're not thinking about what Jesus can do for you or what you can do for yourself by collecting and harboring more and more money, more and more wealth, more and more power. And that's what our world seems to be made of, money and power. And those are the seems to be the only important things. Is money, more money, more money, more money, more power, more power. I'll take a little bit from this program, I'll take a little bit from that program, I'll take some money from these people over here, overseas, South America, North America. I'll just get all the money that I can and all the wealth that I can and all the power that I can. Okay. But how do you serve money? not by helping money or meeting money needs. You serve money by treasuring it so much that you shape your whole life to benefit from what money can do for you. It can't buy you eternal life. It can't buy you health. It can buy you medicine. And some people say it can't buy you love. People say, oh yeah, I can buy love. Can you? Can we buy love? We can't buy God's love. That's the most important love that you could ever have in your life, is God's love. But you can't buy it. It's not for sale. You know, you can give people money and they can act like they love you, but do they really love you? Do they really care about you and what happens to you? The infinite worth of God in Jesus. Therefore, all of life is service to God. That is, all of life is shaped by our passion to maximize our experience of the supreme worth of God in Jesus. So we end where we began. All the world worships something, from the most religious to the most secular. All people value something high enough to build their lives around it. Even if unconsciously, Jesus commands that every person in the world build his life around the infinite worth of God in Jesus. Consider what you are worshiping. Then ask Jesus to open your eyes to the truth of God's supreme worth and to awaken your spirit to treasure him above all else. Well, thank you for spending time with me today. I thank my daughter for calling in and sharing some things with us about her new year and feeling better and getting over the flu. Thank you for tuning in. I will have some guests for you next week, so hang in there. Hey, love you. Thank you so much. Have a blessed and happy weekend. A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. Thank you. God bless.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity. If we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you,